Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned once again for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad to be with you today. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that in this very busy holiday season that you will discover the holy day of Christmas in your heart, in your family. And if you don't know Jesus, that you will be able to see through all of the commercialization of Christmas, the real spiritual significance. And when you read that little phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season, you'll begin to grasp what that truly means today. Well, in just a few moments, we're going to get into the Word of God and study the Christmas story all the way up until Christmas Day, which is coming very, very quickly. And all of the busyness that surrounds this holiday is going to kick in and has kicked in already. There used to be a pause between Halloween and Christmas called Thanksgiving, and really the real Christmas preparations and presentations didn't begin until after Thanksgiving. It begins the day after Halloween now, because of the commercialization, the sales, the Black Friday after Thanksgiving Day is all in preparation for Christmas, when all the deals are offered because gifts are going to be bought during this time. And we're going to be talking in just a few minutes about the first gifts of Christmas. We're going to be studying the first gifts of Christmas, the three gifts of the wise men or the magi. And we just pray that you stay tuned with an open heart and an open mind, and let the Word of God speak to our hearts, that we might have a spiritually significant Christmas this year. Hallelujah. How we need those spiritual gifts that only God can grant through the Holy Spirit to us. And one of the great gifts is God's eternal Holy Son that He has given as the greatest gift of all. Praise God. And the gift of salvation and the gift of righteousness. So many gifts have been given us through the gift of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we want to see exactly what that gift represents in the Scripture today. The first gifts of Christmas in just a few moments. Praise God. We're going to be reading several Scriptures today. So we will begin with 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, and we will go from there. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, and just a few moments. Praise God. If you would like to come to our website, would you just type in THCOG, THCOG? That will take you to the Holy Church of God, where I am senior pastor for 40 years and counting, right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. And we pray today that you'll come and visit with us, peruse our website. Everything is free. There are absolutely no strings attached. There is no charge for anything. If you were a millionaire, you couldn't purchase anything on our website. However, if you would like to make a donation, we would be so happy to receive it. But there is no place to do that there. You'd have to contact us personally or through the radio station, and we just thank you today. We say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I just want you to know what our motive is. There is no ulterior motive, no material benefit in mind when we bring the gospel to you, only that you might know Christ if you don't know Him, and if you do know Him, that you might know Him more intimately and more personally. Praise God, and that you might draw very close to Him in these closing hours and days of human history. We're living in the last days. Christ is coming soon. And the very fact that many scoff at that great truth and message from the Word of God, amen, is evidence that His coming is very, very near. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 on the theme leading up to Christmas Day, the first gifts of Christmas. Hallelujah. I want to begin by saying that the Christmas story is not a fable or a fairy tale. It is a historical event. Jesus was a historical person, and the Bible is an accurate historical document. In our postmodern world, in order to overcome its skepticism, we must clearly delineate God's truth, especially at Christmas. We must separate fact from fiction. I hear the humorous story of a grandmother who took her two grandchildren, aged 7 and 8, to the zoo. When they stopped at the stork cage, she said, "These are the birds that brought you to your mom and dad." Little Johnny looked at little Jimmy and said, "Should we tell her the truth?" Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, we need the truth today. If we're going to grasp the true significance of Christmas, and if we're going to separate it from a pagan holiday and bring it into focus as it truly is supposed to be, a Christian holy day. It doesn't mean we don't celebrate. In fact, I believe that we should out-celebrate the world during this season, because we have more to celebrate than a pagan holiday. We have a holy day when a historical person caused a historical event to occur called Christmas. 2 Peter 1 and verse 16 bears this out. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to His majesty." Hallelujah. These three wise men, these three magi from the east, were also eyewitnesses of His majesty. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, we read that story, and let's read it accurately from the Word of God. It said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We realize now, looking at the whole story, that this king, jealous of any other king that might be born, Herod, was not sending those wise men to find him that he may come and worship him, but that he may actually kill him. And he tried to destroy this young child by killing all of those under a year old in that area. Listen to me today. Amen. Jesus is still the point of intense angst and controversy to this very day. A manger scene in a town square is so offensive to so many people that in many counties it is simply not allowed. Red and green are not even allowed to be worn to school. Those colors that are representative so vaguely of the Christmas holiday. Nothing to do with the holy day. But yet, they don't even want those colors in some schools. They are disallowed during this season. There is a sensitivity to this man Jesus, this Christmas story, this baby born in Bethlehem in China with the great persecution against this wonderfully emerging true church that is persecuted in China. The message of the gospel is in wholesale rejection by the powers that be, the governmental powers in China. And whilst a certain government approved church is accepted, there the underground church, the true church, the church that preaches the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is thriving. It is told that 20,000, up to 20,000 people a day are coming to Christ in the mighty move of God in atheistic, communistic China, hallelujah, in spite of the persecution and all of the pressure, hallelujah, Jesus is alive and well, hallelujah, and the true church is growing in number because, oh yes, there's a falling away in number from many old line Christian organizations, but I'm telling you the church that Jesus Christ is building, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against, is alive and well, just like Jesus is alive and well today. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about these gifts today and the significance. The reason I believe the gifts brought by the wise men have such significance is because God had clearly given them a revelation of who Jesus was and what He came to accomplish. And this is brought to light through the gifts that they give unto Him. By the way, I want to return just a moment to tell you something about what was said by, and I want to quote clearly what was said by the powers that be in China. They said, "We must kill the baby while he's still an infant. We must kill the baby." In other words, we must stop the gospel that begins with a baby in Bethlehem. Christ coming as a baby, growing into manhood, going to the cross, paying the price for sin on the cross, being raised from the dead, hallelujah, to validate that price was paid in full, and seated at the right hand of the Father and is coming back again. Did you know if I preached in China today that Christ was coming again, the rapture of the church, the soon coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ, if I preached that message, I could be arrested for preaching that truth. Oh, a friend of mine, the world is still threatened by this baby that was born, who grew to a man, went to a cross, and is coming back again. First of all, I want to declare to you the idea that these three wise men from the East were kings, as is commonly believed and thought, is biblically and historically unverifiable. It is inaccurate. Some scholars do believe they were based on the ancient custom of future kings being educated by the wise men or the magi before the becoming kings. Second, we assume there were three because three gifts were offered and we can make that assumption. But third, the names are not recorded in Scripture. I'm sure you've heard the names of the three wise men or the three kings, but there is no names given in Scripture. Here's what the Bible said. We just read it. Three wise men from the east. The Greek term for magi is magoi, which is sometimes translated magi, can also be translated into English as wise men, astrologers. From the term magi shares the same root as magister in the Latin, which means teacher. The magi were astrologers, unlike the crackpots who many come to mind today. The Eastern astrologers were notable scientists. They were learned persons of their time. They were students of the natural order. They studied the stars and they conducted experiments. They believed, listen carefully, that great events in the heavens were tied to great events on the earth. These men were wise indeed in that they were able to recognize Jesus for who He was, and what gifts to give Him that would be appropriate for who He was and what He came to do. I want to say that again. The gifts they gave were based on a revelation that God had given them of who He is and what He came to accomplish. If you thought the stories of the shepherds gave Mary pause for a thought, so that she took those events at His birth and pondered them in her heart, just think what it meant to her that three Gentile, non-Jewish folk from a different country traveled all that way to see her child. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him and brought Him gifts. Hallelujah. Number one, they brought Him gold. Gold is a gift for a king. It is most precious and costly gift. It is worthy to present to a king. The Queen of Sheba brought gold to King Solomon. It was a gift for a king. 1 Kings 10:10, it said, "And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, a very great store, and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." You know how much 120 talents of gold is? Someone who did the math said it's 4.5 tons of gold. That is absolutely incredible. I don't know what that translates in our money of today, but it was a gift fit for a king who had everything. Amen. They knew that Jesus was a king like no other. They knew it also that He was born king, not only of the Jews, but king of the universe. In John's Gospel 18 and verse 37, Pilate said therefore unto them, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Praise God. The disciples of Jesus Christ recognized Him as their promised King, and they rejoiced with great joy. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 37 and verse 38. It said, "And when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Hallelujah. Revelation 7:14 says, "The Lamb will overcome His enemies, because He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 19:16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pilate, who ordered Christ's death, not because he believed the crowd, but because he feared Rome, had a title nailed to his cross with him. And the Bible said that Pilate wrote on that title and put it on the cross. The writing was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Often on crucifixes you see the letters I-N-R-I, the Latin abbreviation for Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. When the wise men saw him in the poorest of conditions, kings aren't born in mangers. They're born in palaces. Yet they fell down. This means they prostrated themselves and worshiped him. Gold was a fitting tribute for the newborn King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He wasn't made a king by man. He was born king. He was God incarnate, the second person of the Godhead condescended to come down. This King of the angels, King of the universe, this great, mighty King of Kings, condescended to become flesh and be born in a manger in Bethlehem. And that's why when I hear those words of the song of we three kings, born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Ah, friend, what a truth there is in this stanza of this Christmas carol, this Christmas song, born a king. Hallelujah. Praise God. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Ah, friend of mine, Jesus was born King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of my family members that received Christ as their Savior that I had prayed for years, he came to me and said, Jesus is my King. Jesus is my King. Friend of mine, I want you to know that though he was born King, he can't be your King or my King until we open our heart and receive him as our Savior. But when he becomes the Savior of our soul, he becomes the King of our heart. He becomes the Lord of our life. And it doesn't put us in some kind of religious box. It sets us free from Satan's prison house. Glory to God to be able to serve him, to love him and to serve him, and to live for him and to look for him and long for his soon coming, because he is now our master. He is now our king, and we bow to no other. Oh, I pray this Christmas season that we can separate a pagan holiday that we have brought our Christian faith into, hallelujah, that it might be unto us the holy day that it truly is. As we begin to separate fact from fiction and fable from the reality and the truth that God wants us to grasp and celebrate this Christmas season. Oh, this doesn't mean we don't celebrate Christmas. It means we celebrate it on a higher level because we know the true reason for the season. Hallelujah. Because a king was born in Bethlehem. I don't know about you, but I remember when he became the king of my heart, the Lord of my life. And what a joyous day and occasion that was. And I was 12 years old when I first came to know Christ as my Savior. I fell away as many people do, especially when they don't grasp the real significance of salvation, when they don't understand, when they're not able yet to separate the significance of His coming from the pagan holiday. Oh, friend, I want you to know there is a reality here that reaches into eternity, that has eternal significance. Jesus Christ is King of Angels. He's the Commander-in-Chief of Heaven's armies. Glory to God. He is the Lord of hosts, and that's exactly what that means. And that this mighty King of Glory would come into this world in the poorest of conditions. And yet these magi, these wise men from the East, when they saw Him, they bowed down and worshiped Him, because God had showed them in their hearts that He was born King. Not just King of the Jews, but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise God. The great question today is, have you received Christ as your Savior? Is He the King of your life? Are you of your father the devil? Is He still the one who is in control, His influences? The Bible said to those outside of the kingdom of God, you're of your father the devil, and his works you will do. You will serve him. Bob Dylan wrote the song when he had a brush with Christianity. Doesn't matter who you are, you gotta serve somebody. It might be the devil and it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Whether you're a socialite with a long string of pearls, whether you own banks, you might even own tanks, but you got to serve somebody. Whether you're rich or you're poor, you're powerful or powerless, you got to serve somebody. And when you choose to serve this great King, Jesus Christ, the enemy is powerless over you. His power is broken over you. His prison house of darkness can't hold you any longer. You know, the moment you come to Christ as your Savior, the Bible said, you are translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We want to stop right here today in this study of the first gifts of Christmas, the gift of gold. Listen, there's not enough gold in the world to buy the gift of salvation. The Scripture is very clear. We were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, but we were redeemed with the precious blood, precious, priceless blood of a Lamb without spot and without blemish. But I'll tell you what you can give Him that is more precious than gold as well. You can give Him your heart that He might save your soul. You can repent of your sin and say, Jesus Christ, I want to serve You. I don't want to serve self or sin or Satan any longer. Lord, this Christmas, because of Your great gift to me of salvation, I want to give myself to You. Hallelujah. And again I say, this is not going to put you in a religious box where there is no fun. I know some Christians may look that way, but the reality is there is such joy in serving the Lord, such freedom, such fulfillment in serving Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pray that you will come to know Him as your Lord and your Savior today. Hallelujah. And if you know Him already as your Lord and your Savior, I pray today in the name of Jesus that you will separate this year the myth and the fable from the truth that will set you free and set your soul on fire. I pray this very Christmas that you will grasp the true reason for the season. Well, our time is gone. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?
Beautiful one, we